B-Pod Studios.
Felger.
I don't know, guys. Am I going to play? Am I not going to play? What am I going to do?
Mass.
Yeah, Mass, you stupid. S-T-O-O. Stupid Mass.
It's time for Felger and Mass, presented by DraftKings on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, hi there, everybody. Welcome to the program. Felger Maserati coming to you on May 6th, Thursday here from our Town Fair Tire Studios in Dorchester. Felger and Maz comes to you on 98.5 FM dial here in Boston. We simulcast across New England and the country on TV on NBC Sports Boston, both of which are brought to you by DraftKings. Maz alongside. How you doing, Anthony?
Good, you?
Peachy, thank you so much. Big Jim Murray setting up in our update studio. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
Hi.
Enough of the pleasantries. Okay, so let's want to talk some football?
Sure.
Yes.
Maybe get to some things we've left to the side here the last couple of days.
Didn't think that was possible, but sure.
We haven't really hit on Aaron Rodgers and that situation. And there are some more developments, or developing opinions, I should say, on Jimmy Garoppolo. And I just wonder if there's a tie in there. And that's just where we're going to begin. So if you want to talk some football, 617-779-0985. You have any leftover thoughts about Aaron Rodgers and that whole situation? We haven't hit on it in a couple of days.
I mean, look, to me, the fact that it has played out the way it has tells me how sort of pissed off that Rodgers is. And I'm not saying he's right to be pissed off. I'm just saying that he's clearly pissed off. And you know what? If he's that much of a baby, and I know there are some things out there about how stubborn he is, his personality traits, trade his ass. Trade his ass. End it. Like, why are you going to let the tail wag the dog? Whenever a quarterback makes this, or, you know, and I say quarterbacks, but a player, a diva, makes this kind of power play, my general attitude is trade his ass unless he's in the absolute prime of his career and he's Michael Jordan. Then I might allow it. This guy's 38, 37, whatever he is.
Reigning MVP, though.
Who gives a rat's ass? See you later. Bye-bye. Good, I'll get more for him because he's the MVP. Bye. Trade his ass. That's what I would do.
I mean, that's just how I feel. I'm sorry, Murray. Go ahead.
I mean, if he truly doesn't want to be there, and it does start to sound like it is trending that way, then it does feel like maybe you got no other option. If the thing is just, it's not going to be fixed, then yeah, I mean, you got to try to get what you can get for him now. And I think there are teams you could trade him to and get a quarterback back. You know, I mentioned in the 10-question segment with Bedard, maybe you can get Daniel Jones back from the Giants. Maybe you trade him to Cleveland. You get Baker Mayfield back. I think that there's legitimate options for them. They can get a real haul and get a quarterback as well. But if I was them, I'd still try to make it work, because you may think he's on the back nine, Maz, and maybe he is, but he's the reigning MVP. I know he's a pain in the ass. He is a diva, but it's a quarterback-driven league, and he's, you know, the 1B to Brady right now. I know he hasn't won much. It's only been one title in his tenure there, but I just don't know how you can move on from a guy like that.
I just think they've already blown it. I just think they've lost their best opportunity to move him and get the best return. I mean, they could move him now, but whoever they trade him to is going to then be good and be drafting at the end of rounds. If they had the Niners offering that third overall pick, I mean, you're not going to do better than that. So they had it, you know, and I feel like, you know, drafting Jordan Love in the first place was a really nervy, ballsy, sort of forward-thinking, tough move. I loved it. Loved it, loved it, loved it. And I feel like as they get to now, they've sort of lost their nerve to follow through on it. And I know the organization's plan was to have Rodgers for two more years and then move on, just because of the way his contract is structured. Well, so it blew up a year early. And I just thought that's when they should have struck. And now it's sort of in this spot where if you trade him now, you're giving into the player. And you just don't want to do that, right? That sets a precedent. But in that same breath, Maz, you look across the league, and Deshaun Watson's doing the same thing in Houston, and Russell Wilson's doing the same thing in Seattle. And there are some big chips that are still out there that don't feel like they're moving. Should they all move? Is that good for the NFL or is it not good for the NFL? Do you root for the teams to stand? Because that, I mean, this might be what's going on there. Yeah. You know, partly speaking, that it's a united front, meaning the players aren't going to give into the owners aren't going to give into the players and let them dictate. You know, this isn't the NBA, guys. And the owners, and even though Green Bay doesn't have one, you know what I'm saying, the teams there are making a stand saying, we're not going to let this become the NBA, and you're not going to control player movement. We control player movement. But would it be better for the NFL if it was the NBA?
No. And when I say no, I mean that you don't want it to become, like, for lack of a better term, the Wild West, where all of a sudden it's like players are, you know, but the problem with players getting power is not that, you know, well, what's the problem with owners having power? But there's a problem with that, too, when it gets to be too tilted. So that ideally you want some level of balance. But the problem with players having the greater image or having power, period, is that many of them are emotional, immature. I mean, we're talking about young guys who don't know what to do with it. Right, they just don't know what to do with it. Now, Rodgers is a little older, but a lot of guys, had, you know, they're just not emotionally equipped to be able to make sound, rational judgments.
I don't know if he is either.
Well, so he might not be. And again, and he qualifies as young relative to owners.
He is he is an emotional dude, man.
Yeah, and you can see it.
He is ruled by his emotions.
I mean, so you can see it. And look, there are owners that are that way too. James Dolan. Well, you don't need to. That felt like an emotional response. And so I'm not telling you it's perfect, but I think it gets when the power tips too much to either side, I think that's when you really start to have problems. And so there's got to be some sort of check and balance. So I don't want every disgruntled quarterback to be able to wake up after Super Bowl Sunday and blame someone else and then say, I want out. Like, I don't think that that's good. You get tired of that, too.
I mean, I think it's helped hurt the league in the NBA. Like, you know, you get that initial sugar high of like, oh, wow, that's cool. That player, like, you know, LeBron jumps from Miami and he then goes back to Cleveland. He's back home. And like, you get the sugar high for a little bit, but then eventually it becomes old and really annoying. And like Matt said, like, okay, you didn't win with this team, so I'm gonna find another way. Like, you know, with Durant, like, I couldn't figure it out in OKC, so I'm gonna end up going to the Golden State Warriors. Like, at some point you get annoyed by it, and I would hate to see that happen in the NFL.
Well, it speaks poorly to the players in a couple cases. Durant's chief among them.
Absolutely.
Like, so that, you know, jump to the Warriors to get your rings, and then jump to wherever because you want to play with Kyrie or, you know, like, yeah, I smell you on that. I think it's made it more interesting, though. I really do. I mean, is Deshaun Watson better off if they just hold him in Houston versus him going, I don't know, you name it, Denver, New York, if that was on the tape, Miami? Wouldn't it be better if he went to the Dolphins?
Yes.
Wouldn't it be better for the league?
Totally.
Wouldn't it be better for the league?
Again, you get the sugar high for like a year or two. It would be really cool. But eventually, 5 years down the road, would be like, all right, enough with this. Okay, and that's what's happened in the NBA.
Well, I mean, let me just, you know, and I don't know if this is LeBron James's legacy or Kevin Durant's legacy or Tom Brady's legacy. Because up until Brady finally had enough here and, you know, pushed his way out here and was pushed out, you know, we know that whole story. But until Brady said enough, I'm going to finish my career somewhere else. The player movement with the quarterback thing wasn't that great. And it kind of feels like it's opened the floodgates. Because since Brady did that, you had Carson Wentz do that. You had Matt Stafford do that. You had Aaron Rodgers do that. You had Russell Wilson do that. You had Deshaun Watson do that. And if I've missed any, I don't know, but that's a half dozen right there.
No, it's a lot.
And it all started with Brady.
Yeah, it's a lot. And so it's really starting to, you know, the powerful players in that league are really starting to feel themselves. And so, you know, they're putting their foot down. Now, I think if you really want to draw the line all the way back, I think it's LeBron, to me. I think LeBron has completely changed how players view their, you know, talented players view their power. Because LeBron, to me, has altered, like, the landscape of pro sports forever. I think the guy's a, you know, a trailblazer in that way. So, but now in the NFL, we want to say, well, it didn't apply to football. Brady. Yeah, I'll give you a Brady on that one. No question about it. The problem, though, like when you say Watson's situation, if Watson's situation were exclusive, fine. No problem. There's a dramatic story there. But when every guy starts doing it, now it's like, okay, well, what we have here is a rebellion. So now we're going to quash it. That's it, because it's getting stupid.
So I wonder if there are league forces at play there. And now, to me, the next shoe to drop is, do these guys really follow through? Do these guys really follow through if the teams don't trade them? Will they really sit out and leave all that money on the table? And Aaron Rodgers might be a guy who does it. Now, we're going to play some Brett Favre sound coming up. And the fact that Brett Favre gets so much yank and so much play with the things that he says drives me nuts. Because I think he's kind of a bozo. I think he has no authority on winning or team building. He was a tremendous underachiever as a player. And I'm talking about in a team winning sense. He was a brilliant talent who only won once. And I think he was partly responsible for that. It wasn't about the surrounding cast or his coaching. It was partly about him. standing for the wrong things and not putting in the work and the way that he played and the way he played in big games. He owns his track record. One Super Bowl championship, gross underachievement. He was kind of a tool bag as a player.
We're so far removed from this guy being like the face of anything NFL, and now all he's doing is pitching arthritis gloves. Why are people like listening to him and giving him a microphone and
I
a
know,
platform?
It's annoying.
It blows my mind.
But anytime he says anything, it's a headline. I've talked about this a lot. It's like when Joe Namath says something about the Jets to this day, headline in the New York Post. I'm like, why are we listening to that old booze bag? Like, what? Why is he the authority? Like this sort of elder statesman, voice of reason, you know, the pearls of wisdom from Brett freaking Favre. Like, I just, oh my God. Like, as much of an underachiever as Aaron Rodgers is, again, from the Super Bowl standpoint, which is all I care about. Those guys only won once. Favre might be a bigger underachiever. At least Rodgers has knocked on the door repeatedly. Favre, not so much. I can't even remember how many NFC title games he got to.
At least Favre got to a second Super Bowl, though.
He did. But I think, well, either way, I mean, call him the same thing then. I still don't know why we're taking advice or taking wisdom from Brett Favre, that freaking bozo. But he did have a good point on why Rodgers wouldn't come back. And it hadn't occurred to me. And just do me a favor, Jimmy, play Favre number one, if you could. Favre one. This is from either his podcast or he did some interviews this week that's generated some headlines. Just give me number one.
Knowing Aaron, and I think I know him fairly well, if he has a grudge, whether it be against the organization or a player or an arch rival or family, friends, he ain't budging. I don't see him coming back and saying, if this is not resolved, however, whatever the issue is, if it's not resolved, or even if it's resolved, but he feels like they got it one up on him, he ain't going to play. Knowing Aaron, he would sit. Now, it's, you know, he would forego a lot of money, but he's also got a lot of money.
It's a really good point by the old hayseed. The personal grudges in Brett Favre's, and excuse me, in Aaron Rodgers' personal life, they're real. He has shut out family members. He doesn't speak to his family or members of his family. This has been going on for years. He's had how many girlfriends, right? And like celebrity girlfriends. And not once that I can remember, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but not once that I can remember, it's like, they released a statement. We have a lot of respect for each other, but me and Danica have decided to go our separate ways. We still love and respect each other very much, and they're still good, and they're still friends. No, I feel like it's like nuclear, and the name doesn't cross his lips again. And it's like, this is a different kind of dude. Holds grudges, takes it personal, like gets real deep into it and deep about it. I mean, his family. He's the guy didn't talk to his family.
Well, that's the big one. I mean, because again, like, you know, look, and I suppose they all fall in the same pile eventually, but your family, like, that's usually something wrong there.
So if he's not going to let his brother back in or his mother back in or, his, you know, again, and without digging too deep into that because I forget all the details, but whatever, if he's not going to let his immediate family members back into his circle, he's going to let Brian Gutekunst into his circle or he's going to give into that? I mean, this might be the guy who actually does it.
Maybe.
Who actually does it. And so I think the Packers already blew it. They're not going to get a better offer than that 49ers offer. So we're going to start talking this, and you can weigh in on whatever you like at 617-779-0985. To your calls right after these words.
Boston's home for sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. Felger and Maz.
I'm not even going to look it up because I'd rather just deliver that to you.
Facts be damned.
Yep.
Make the shirts.
Yep.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
I think I know Aaron fairly well. And honestly, I just don't see him coming back and just saying, all right, let's bury the hatchet, whatever that, for whatever caused the rift. I'm just going to come back and play because I love love the guys. I love the Green Bay fans. I assume that he does. But his rift isn't with the fans nor the players. It's with the front office, you know. So will he just swallow his pride and come in? Maybe. But I don't see that happening. I if there's not a trade, my gut tells me that he'd rather sit out than play. That's just my gut. I mean, there's no reason for me to say that other than that's just what my gut's telling me.
Again, more from Favre, who I do resent all the Yankee gets, all the cred he gets as some sort of voice of reason for someone that we should be listening to. But on Rodgers, I think he's got good insight. Rodgers is a weird dude. You know his brother? So, again, I was just boning up real quick. I remember some of this stuff, and a lot of it I've forgotten. But his brother's a half-celebrity. His brother was a quarterback at Vanderbilt, was a good quarterback at Vanderbilt, and has been on The Bachelor. He's like one of these celebrity reality Bachelor dudes. Yeah, this is who he is. And, apparently, during an appearance on The Bachelorette, Jordan Rodgers revealed, this is like Pete Tebow, Jordan Rodgers revealed he doesn't really talk to his older brother, Aaron, on the show. Contestants go to their homes so the date can meet their family and get to know the person a little better. But ahead of the trip, Jordan said, my middle brother, he won't be there. Me and Aaron don't really have that much of a relationship, he continued. It's just kind of the way he's chosen to do life. I chose to stay close to my family and my parents and my brother. And, it's not ideal. I love him, and I can't imagine what it's like to be in his shoes and have the pressure he has and the demands from people that he has. Don't have hard feelings against him, just how things go right now. When Jordan was asked, so you guys don't talk at all, he responded, nope, not really. How about this? In 2016, Tyler Dunn wrote a feature on Rodgers for Bleacher Report and dove a bit more deeply into the Packers quarterback's relationship with his family. One source who was close to Rodgers for years, but is among the many who have since been cut off by Rodgers entirely, said the quarterback has not spoken to his family since December of 2014. Immediate family members don't even have his cell phone number. When mom and dad sent Christmas presents to the quarterback and his girlfriend that year, the source said, those gifts were mailed back.
That's so cold.
In February. He was set to be the groomsman in the wedding of one of his closest friends, the source said, and just texted the next day before, texted the day before and said he couldn't attend. So he was supposed to be the best man and texted the day before and said, I'm out. Dunn's report also added that Rodgers did not attend his grandfather's funeral. He fired a business manager he knew since high school, and his family is not welcome in Green Bay. Not only does he not talk to them,
No, it's like Matt McCarthy.
Don't even come in the city.
Get out of my city.
How about that? This guy.
Did he hire patrols to keep them out?
This guy has issues. That.
Oh, big time. Yeah, he's wounded.
Issues.
Yeah, he's wounded. He's damaged. Clearly, there's something there. Middle child, too. Like, there's got to be something there.
During a 2017 interview with the New York Times, Rodgers' family confirmed they don't have contact with their son. Fame can change things, Ed Rodgers, Aaron's dad, told the Times. Ed Rodgers also confirmed what was reported in the Bleacher Report article. He admitted to the Times it was weird to have his family as a national storyline, but he also says he's not too upset about all the information coming out. He said it's good to have it all come out. So, can I just give you one more? Because it's just so bizarre. The only insight, so whenever Aaron's asked about it, he won't talk about it. The only insight he gave was when, I guess Danica did a podcast and he appeared on Danica's podcast when they were a couple. And
I'd go on her podcast, too.
Me, too. However, Rodgers may have provided a clue as to how a rift between his family started. In a January 2020 interview with then-girlfriend Danica Patrick, Rodgers brought up his Christian upbringing. Quote, most people that I knew, church was just, you had to go. Your parents made you go. You wake up, you put some clothes on, and you go. And you can't wait to get back and watch the second game of the day of the NFL on TV. Rodgers went on to say it took some time before he realized what he wanted to believe when it came to religion. I just didn't find any connection points with those things and started questioning things and had friends who had other beliefs and enjoyed learning. I had some good friendships along the way that helped me figure out da-da-da-da-da. So your parents made you get up and go to church and miss the early NFL game in California? You know, it starts at 10 a.m. So that's it? I mean, I'd like to think it's a little more than that. But with this guy...
Well, that's a symptom. That's not a problem.
With this guy, you don't know. So if he's going to shut out his bro and his mom and dad, if he won't allow them in the city of Green Bay, Brown County, Wisconsin...
Not allowed.
He's going to give in to the Packers?
Not allowed in Green Bay.
How about that?
Yeah, look, he's a different cat. There's no question about it. He's a different cat. So, like, look, on some level, if a guy threatens to not play and he feels he's that principled about it, and then he actually sits out, on some level, I have respect for that.
Yeah, if you stick to your guns and leave money on the table, sure.
So what is, you know, what empowers him in this case is he's made a crap ton already. I was just looking it up. Just in salary, he's made almost $250 million, $240 million. So a guy like that now has the juice to say, I don't need the dough.
Well, he might be the guy. He may be the rare one who is wired that way to actually do it. Because once you're out, you're out. Once you're out from Aaron Rodgers, you are done forever.
Boy, he really is all or nothing, huh?
Okay, so anyway, there's a little insight into the Rodgers situation. 617-779-0985. Anthony in Vegas on the Patriots quarterback situation. Hi, Anthony.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to hear what Murray's take was on, he was a proponent of tanking to get a better quarterback. But it looks like, according to Bedard and everyone else, that Mac Jones, they would have taken him if they had the 7th pick, the 10th pick. So I just kind of want to hear... You know, and I was wrong for Murray, and that you were right, Felger, to not tank.
Yeah, bleh, Murray, you want to...
No, we don't know that yet. What if Justin Fields turns out to be better than Mac Jones? Then I would have been right. So we'll see. It's still TBD. It's to be determined.
Attaboy, Murray.
In Vegas.
Attaboy.
Well, but...
I'm glad that they took a quarterback. I'm stunned that they took a quarterback with the 15th overall pick. But we need to see how it plays out.
And it's really not just that. I mean, I do believe they would want Mac Jones over Justin Fields. So in this case, it doesn't really matter whether they were 15, 11, or 8. You know, if they were 8, they still would have taken Mac Jones. And this is why I think about tanking. You know, unless you're the Jaguars the year Trevor Lawrence is out and you're already 0-10, then fine, go ahead and tank. But everyone else, I think it all sort of shakes out in the wash and it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, so look, again, I'm not telling you you're right or you're wrong. I'm just saying that if the caller's looking for Murray to issue an apology, let's make sure the kid can play first.
Yeah, but I mean, there's other things to look at, too, and maybe the Jets got the best guy. But you know, maybe it's entirely possible Zach Wilson's better than Trevor Lawrence.
Sure.
And the Jets tried to win a few games down the stretch, won a few games down the stretch, and maybe they end up with a better guy. I'm just anti-tanking because I've just seen it happen so often. Every now and then, you tank the right year for the right guy, and it works. Every now and then. I think more often than not, it doesn't. And so I just would never want to be that team. Kevin and Bill Ricker. Go ahead, Kevin.
Hey, guys. Felger, I just ask that you please put some respect on Brett Favre's name. I want to ask you, because why do you think Americans love Brett Favre so much?
Because he appeals to the everyman who sits on his lawnmower in his front yard and pickup truck.
Yes, exactly. He's tough. I think he's from like poor rural Texas or whatever. But the reason that he's so much
Mississippi. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. But the reason why he's so much more popular than Rodgers and honestly probably Brady's because he's not, you know, an elitist guy like Rodgers. I just remember his draft night when he was 18th. You know, he was sulking because he was picked so late, and he's been a D-bag since day one.
Let me tell you, Brett Favre is one of the great frauds in American sports, and always has been, and I'm not just saying that now. When we first came on the air, I've been a longtime Favre critic, so I've felt this way for a long time. You know, when he went to the Jets, he demanded of the Jets that he dress in a separate locker room, that he have his own dressing space. He demanded of the Jets not ride on team buses, that he got his own ride to the airport or the team hotel. So he would ride in like a limoed car or a chauffeured car behind the team buses on his own to and from the planes and the hotels. And again, dress in his own area. Never mind him sending pictures of his penis to people who work in the Jets. Never mind that. We forget that. Just sort of let that go. The guy's a complete fraud. Complete fraud.
See, this guy's bought into the image, hook, line, and sinker. Here's the other thing.
People love that narrative.
Oh, they really do, though. And here's the other thing with Favre, too. Oh, boy, did he know how to kiss the ass of the media.
Oh, God.
Because they love him. They love him.
He had guys in his back pocket. Oh, and it was never his fault. You know how many big games he pissed away because he just couldn't keep his concentration or couldn't hang in there or make the smart play? You know how many big playoff games they lost?
Yeah, and then someone like Madden would say, oh, he's a gunslinger. What do you expect? Like, they were always making excuses for him.
Painful. I grew to really not like that player. Really not like that. Oh, wee! He's over the riverboat gambler, and look at him. Oh, I couldn't see. He should have won so much more than he did.
He's not afraid to throw a pick.
And you know, remember that, right? Yes, he throws six interceptions. And Tom Jackson would say, what I like about him, he's not afraid to throw a pick.
Well, clearly.
This is true. He was not afraid. Oh, good God, please. And, you know, he's an imperfect human being, which, like, I'm not piling on him for being a bad guy. You know, we all have our faults and we all have ups and downs. So that's, you know, that happened to him, too. It's just how he's exalted in some quarters. I just, like, please. And to me, it would all feel differently if he won more. Win, as opposed to just be this image and be this thing, this myth. You would won a little bit more. I'd give you a little bit more credit. So there's my answer to your Brett Favre take. Here's Murray's update. We come back. We'll continue with your calls on this. Have a quick Celtics minute for you as well, so don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Just a non-stop whirlpool of kerfuffle.
Kicking a hornet's nest every single day.
You gotta listen to believe it. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Rez Dekus for three. Short. Rebound Jabari Parker. He will have to get it across half court. Just realize that now. Clock will hit triple zeros. And the Celtics take care of business tonight. And then some dominant performances by Kemba Walker and Jason Tatum. The Celtics needed a road win. They get one. Their largest road win in 3 years. They pound the Orlando Magic tonight and win it by 36. Boston 132, Orlando 96.
Let's give you a Celtics thought off of last night's useless basketball game.
Yep.
Did you watch some of that first quarter?
Yes.
How many times did the Orlando Magic throw it away just trying to pass it from the wing back to the point? I mean, do you notice this? How many times they tried to swing the ball from the elbow back to the, say, top of the key to have it intercepted by the Celtics?
Yes, all the time. And then there was a skip pass that I think a guy chucked into the crowd, too. I looked at it and said, boy, this team blows.
Were they freaking drunk?
Oh, they were horrible.
Well, look how many minutes they were given a Mo Wagner, for God's sakes. No, they're terrible, and that was playing like playing a G League team. But that said, it was a whistle-to-whistle beatdown. You haven't had a lot of those, even to lowly teams, when they're losing to OKC a few weeks ago. So, I don't know, a little bit of credit. At least they didn't play down to them.
Sorry, Murray. 0.0. 0. 0 point. Give them 0 for that game last night. And, in fact, the only games I want to see now with the Celtics, I'd like to see these two Miami games just to see what, you know, what they sort of look like. Two consecutive games with Miami. They're jostling to get out of that play-in. And so let's see what that looks like. And look, do I think they're going to respond in the postseason? My answer is probably not. Okay, probably not. But I've said this to you before. I want to see them with Fournier and Robert Williams, and I want to see some of these guys in the mix who don't shoot as much.
Maz, if you just look at their roster, they should make things interesting.
Yes, they should be better than they are.
I mean, if you just look at their roster, I'm sorry. They are better than the Knicks. They are better than the Hawks. They should be better than the Heat. They're better than all these teams around them.
Absolutely.
Okay, so if you're just playing fantasy basketball and you're going talent to talent, they should have a good end of the year. What, they have 6 games left? They should win 5 of them, something like that. They should be no worse than the 5 seed, which means they probably play the Knicks in the first round. You are much more talented than the Knicks. You should beat the Knicks. Jimmy, why are you shaking your head at me already?
Because he knows that should and the reality of this team are two completely different things,
Mike. But this is what I'm saying. I'm not saying they will, but they should. Talent for talent? You disagree with this? Why are you're openly laughing at me?
I'm mocking you because the Knicks will defend and shut Tom Thibodeau. If it's the Knicks and the Celtics, his team will play defense. Your Boston Celtics, Mike Felger, will not.
Okay.
And that's why they will be out in the first round against the Knicks.
But that's not what he's saying.
That's not what I'm saying. I don't care.
I'm telling you the reality.
Well, fine. Okay. Well, let me get to the second part of my statement.
Good answer, Jimmy.
If it's just talent for talent, though, you're beating the Knicks. You're better than the effing Knicks. You have more talent than the effing Knicks. But... so that's why, like, on the optimistic side of it, that's what you say. You say, well, we're still better than those teams. But the way you play, your toughness, your coaching, the way it's all come together has been garbage. Okay? So if that holds, then the team should have no hope. And to me, a big thing is just that little play-in deal. If you're in that play-in tournament, even though I think you get out of it, you should, because if you're the 7 seed, you have to lose twice. You know, if you're the 7 seed, you only have to win once, right? You play the 10, and if you lose that game, then you play the loser of the other one. If you lose that one, then you're out.
Like, right.
So even if you play your way out of that, I think you're so psychologically damaged by being the last pick on the playground and being in this stupid JV, NIT, shameful little play-in thing that the Celtics mentally will never recover because they're so mentally weak that... that's it. You know, never mind you play the Nets or the Sixers in the first round coming out of that thing. So pork city, pork, pork, pork. If you're the 6th seed, to this point, I've been wanting to tell you that the Bucks are vulnerable, but they've shown me a little something here the last couple days.
Yeah, but if you're 6 or 7, you'd have to beat both the Bucks and the Nets to get to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Well, let's just take it one step at a time. Because, again, in my previous scenario, you claim the 5 seed, you beat the Knicks, which you should in the first round, and now there's a whole different thing. Now it's like... all right, we've just flipped a switch. We've hit our stride. You've got momentum. You've got wind at your sails. You've just advanced in the playoffs. And you're feeling a little different about yourself. And now it's like, okay, you and the Sixers, if the Sixers claim that 1 seed, okay, I want to see that. And I don't think that's an unrealistic scenario.
I think you want to say we don't know what the Celtics are.
Well, all I want to say is there's a path to make it interesting. There is.
No, there is. But I just think that they're gutless. Heartless. They've tuned out the coach. You can't look at any of these other remaining games. And I know they beat up on a scrub last night and say, oh, no, that's a guaranteed win because you just don't know. They're the only thing they're consistent at is their inconsistency. That's it.
Yeah, they're trick or treat. They are the definition of trick or treat.
And I don't even think that's it. But either way.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, I think they've been the same team all year. I think they've been incredibly consistent. They're poorly coached, bitchy, soft. That's where they've been that from day one.
Yeah, Murray just said the only thing that's consistent is their inconsistency.
I don't think that's inconsistent.
Well, it's... No.
I think they've been...
on first?
Yeah. No. I think they've been the exact same team from day one.
Yeah.
The exact same team, but they've been incredibly consistent, which means sometimes you win, sometimes you lose, but they've been the exact same kind of team the whole way through.
Right. Yeah, which is exactly what Murray said.
Am I misinterpreting this?
No.
Either way, let's move on because somehow we missed something there.
So, no, look, the thing is they're capable of more. They are capable of more. And so the question is, at what point or at any point do they decide to actually give it? Do they actually decide to give it?
So if I'm predicting, I don't think they will either. I'm just telling you that the path to actually doing something is not that complicated. It's not that bad.
No, it's there if they want to play.
You're a game and a half out of the 5 seed. You've got an easy-ass schedule down the stretch other than these Heat games. You know, you should only lose once more the rest of the way. You should claim the 5. You should beat the Knicks. You should, right? You should. And if you do that, how do you feel after that Knicks series? You maybe got a little wind at your sails, and because they're so mentally weak, all of a sudden they think they're good, and they've heard Eddie Palladino go, JT, for 3 a few times, and now they feel good about themselves.
I love Eddie.
Because they're a bunch of children, and they actually need that. And now, you know, who knows? Like, I still think that's there if they want it.
They don't.
So they probably don't want it.
They're too busy at the steakhouse at the Seaport watching games. They'd rather do that.
I mean, they should beat the Knicks handily.
Shouldn't they?
Yes. I mean, put it this way. If both teams were engaged, they should beat the Knicks handily.
The Knicks one team plays defense. The
that's
other
not what I'm saying. That's not what I'm
other.
Saying, yeah, Jimmy.
You're talking talent to talent, but the Knicks are the Bridgies. They're the old you. They play harder than you night to night.
No question. And they're
Thibodeau
tougher.
Knows where the bodies are buried.
Right, which is why it's a series if they play. But if the Celtics were engaged and played with the same chemistry and passion as the Knicks, it shouldn't be a series.
Okay. So there's your Celtics minute. Did you enjoy it? I was a little iffy about the whole thing, to be totally honest with you. Long commercial-free segment is next. Something Jed York said out in San Francisco about his quarterback situation has crawled up Maz's mail chute. Let's climb up there with them, shall we? We'll do it right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
No thanks.
Felger and Maz.
Those guys are always trouble.
I want nothing to do with this guy.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
We are in a situation where Jimmy goes out and takes us to the Super Bowl again and has an MVP caliber season. There are worse dilemmas to be in. And Jimmy certainly has the ability to do that. I think Kyle's talked about that all along. And knowing it's the most important position in sports. And it's great to have a guy that you do believe in, that has gotten you to a Super Bowl, so you don't have to put the weight of the world on a rookie, whoever it was that we were going to choose. Now that we know that Trey is here, you don't have to put the weight of the world on that kid's shoulders, and he can grow into that position. For us, if you invest $25 or $50 million into your rookie to get them ready, then, I mean, to me, like we're investing in the long-term future of our team. You know, this Sunday, he turns 21. If he doesn't play until he's 23, you know, but he's got a 15-plus year career. I mean, you know, there were rumors about a guy, and obviously Kyle talked about trading for Aaron. How long did Aaron sit? 2-3 years before he played? And again, I want to make sure that we do everything that we can to make sure that that position is the best it can possibly be in the NFL.
That's Niners owner Jed York on San Francisco's mindset. Let's pick this up about keeping Jimmy Garoppolo, why they're keeping Jimmy Garoppolo. At one point there, he said even if it's 2 years on the bench for Trey Lance, they're investing in the future, the most important position in sports, and that's why they're doing it. Why did that bother you, Maz?
Okay, so when he said that phrase, most important position in sports, you know why it bothered me? Because this is what I want the Patriots to do. This is what I want the Patriots to do, to recognize that you do unusual things for an unusual position. That when you're talking about the most important position in sports, you do things that are out of character. Now, look, I acknowledge there's every chance that Jed York's playing me and playing everybody else, and that down the road they're going to release Jimmy Garoppolo, and that's going to be the end of it. At which case, I will look at it and say, I took the cheese. I was an idiot. Won't be the first time. I've done it before. But if they go through with it, that's exactly what I would want from any organization that I was a fan of. I would look at that and say, that's exactly what you should do with that position. Invest in it, believe in it, and because you're not going to get by trying to do it on the cheap. You're just not.
So I agree with that totally. Is there a case to be made that San Fran's gone too far? I mean,
sure.
Maz, it's one thing to have your next starter sit on the bench for a couple of years. If you draft him at 24 where Aaron Rodgers went, or 25 where Jordan Love went, or Steve Young with San Francisco, I can't remember what they gave up, second and third round picks, I think, to Tampa to get Steve Young. You devoted essentially three first round picks for Jordan Love. Do you do that with that guy? 2 years on the bench for that guy? For someone that you trade up into the top three to draft? I mean, believe me, I think Bill undervalues the position, and the Patriots have undervalued the position. But the Niners, they sent a second-round pick for Garoppolo, then paid him $30 million a year. Now they've devoted what amounts to three first-round picks in Jordan Love. And as Jed York just says, you're going to devote $25, $50 million into him by the time he gets through halfway through his rookie contract. And you may sit him for a couple of years, so that's another couple of 30 for Jimmy Garoppolo while he's still playing. It's like, ooh. Is there a line there between investing in at that position and going freaking nuts? So I just think there's a case to be made there on San Francisco. They've taken that a little far. You don't trade up to the third pick to have the guy sit a couple years. The sit a couple years guy, I don't even mind. Like, I think even the, you know, I'm fully in favor of redshirting a quarterback for a year. Like, I think that's the way to go. If it were up to me, I would do that. And if it takes two, it takes two. But if you're drafting the it takes two guy, then he better be a second round pick. He better be a late first pick. Can you do that with the third overall pick? That feels like a little much to me.
Okay, so again, doesn't it all depend on what he turns into?
Of course.
In other words, if he can play, is it worth it?
Yeah, well, I mean, ultimately it is, but wow.
Okay, so I look at it differently than you do when it comes to quarterback. Like, I was just trying to punch up quarterback payrolls and salary caps and whatever, you know, just the only thing we can go by. And so I just look at it and say, okay, Garoppolo's making 24, whatever, 24 and a half, and I didn't see what the ultimate money was on Trey Lance. But so what? Green Bay's got $40 million committed to quarterback. Seattle's got 35. Like, I look at it and say, okay, like, so I make up the money somewhere else on my roster.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know me. It's really not the money. It's, boy, that's a lot of draft capital to have a guy sit 2 years. That's just...
And do they know how to assess quarterbacks, too? Because prior to the trade for Garoppolo, so in 2017, they had the third pick in the draft, and the only quarterback on the roster, again, pre-Garoppolo, was your guy Brian Hoyer. And they chose to draft a defensive end, Solomon Thomas, and not Patrick Mahomes or Deshaun Watson. And so they use a third-round pick that year to take C.J. Beathard, and yeah, they end up with Garoppolo, but now they trade a couple of first-round picks to move up to three for Lance when they probably could have grabbed him for later for less. Like, I don't know. Like, it's. I know you hate the they're idiots, but you sometimes look at some of their decisions, and they look like idiots.
I don't know if they have great command of the situation. And I do question their judgment, too. They're not wrong to value the quarterback position. They're not wrong to overvalue the quarterback
right,
position.
Right, but I'm starting to wonder, though, if this whole trade in the first place was nothing more than to, we can get Aaron Rodgers, so let's get that third pick. And now maybe Trey Lance is almost a consolation prize.
Yeah, look, again, if that's what it is, then they're idiots. I mean, I'm just telling you that I'd focus more on the, you know, we'll pay Jimmy G $25 million to play while we bring the kid along. I like that. Again, if I were a fan of them, so the Lance part of it, I can't speak to. I mean, if he's a bust, well, it's going to go down as one of the worst trades in NFL history. You traded all the way up there for a kid who can't play and gave up all those firsts, and then they'll look even worse if they then release Garoppolo and he goes and plays somewhere else. Like, wow, what a mistake. So, you know, they're hedging their bets a little bit. I'm focused on the money they're putting into it.
Well, but I mean, I'll go back to your, so I don't care about the money. The draft capital, it's rare to have a guy sit 2 years at number three. You know, I think it's becoming more rare for them to sit 1 year. But again, I don't mind the 1 year sit. It's the 2 year sit, drafting third to trade up to go number three. It's not even like they were sitting at number three, and that's all they had to do was use their pick. No, they gave up two futures. So like that to me feels a little much. And I'm the sit the quarterback guy, and I'm the over invest in the quarterback guy. San Fran, I wonder if they just, they have no restraint or no command. I think there's a case to be made there that they don't have all their ducks in a row there. But either way, at least they're erring on the right side of it, overvaluing that position. But your original statement about when Jed York says, for the most important position in sports, do you think Bill Belichick will ever utter those words?
No. No, and that's why it sent me. That's why it made me go bananas, because I'm like, see, it's that simple. It's that simple. Why is it so hard for the Patriots or for Belichick?
The only time he'll ever see that is if he's looking in a mirror.
Because, well, so that's right, Murray. But I think Kraft knows it.
Oh, yeah. I was just going to say, Robert will say it.
I think he knows it. Bill will never say it.
Will Bill ever allow those words to escape his lips?
No, and that's why it pissed me off.
Yes, so I'm with you on that one.
That's why it pissed me off, because I said, see, he said it. Because we've said it a million times. It's the most important position in sports. You now have the owner of the Niners saying it. So it struck me as, if I were a fan of that franchise, I would say, amen. God bless you. That's what I want to hear. Tell me that it means something to you. Tell me that spot means something to you, that there's a value there that exists that doesn't exist for any other player on any other team in any sport. It's just off the charts. So I feel like, okay, he gets it. Now, did they get Lance right? I don't know. Like, I mean, but I at least feel their heart's in the right place, that they're trying. by saying we're going to invest in that spot because it means that much.
And their whole plan, I think they've overspent on their whole plan. But that's okay. Overspend at that position. If you're going to err on any side of it, err on that side of it. I mean, and I think they have. I think they have overcompensated on that. But at least it's in the right spot. And they're not afraid to say that this position is more important than any of us. Something your guy can't bring himself to say.
Oh, my gosh. I heard him say that. I went, wow, I can't believe he said it exactly the way we would.
Okay. I promise. We'll take some calls. You've been waiting patiently. There's a couple open lines at 617-779-0985. We'll get right to you off of Murray's 90-second update. No commercials. Also want to get to a story on Mac Jones today that threw just a little water, a little chilly water on the next Tom Brady. But again, your calls right after the update. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.